Amen. Thank you. I've been excited about being here all day. We had Noonday Eucharist, of course, but I've really been looking forward to coming and being here. And I'm glad to see your faces, glad you're here, and trust that you've already experienced the presence of the Lord. Can you see me okay? Not that I'm hard to miss, but or easy to miss, but I guess you can. I can't see your faces and nobody's saying. Years ago, there was a really famous minister who was in Chicago, and he had to catch a train, and it was like a couple of days before Christmas. He was walking to the train station in Chicago, which is huge, and there was this lady, this very poor woman. Obviously, she was very poor, and she was sitting next to a little child, and she was laughing, and he kept noticing that she kept laughing and just chuckling to herself. And he was thinking, because he was really stressed out about all the stuff that was going on. He was late getting to the place he was supposed to be. A lot of things had gone wrong in this tour he was doing, of teaching and ministering. So he was not doing very well. And yet, he was this really famous preacher and minister and conference speaker. And here's this lady who seemed to have nothing in the world. And she's sitting in this bench waiting for the train to come or catch her train. And she's chuckling. And then they discover that because of snow, all the trains are canceled for like 5 or 6 hours. So he's even more stressed. And yet as time went on, he kept noticing that she's like laughing. So he couldn't stand anymore. He finally went over there and to her and he said, "Ma'am, all this going on, your train has been canceled. I just need to know what makes you so happy?" And she said, "It's that baby Jesus. He just makes me laugh." You know, in the scripture, there's some of those things that we sang in the song, "A Holy Night," which I've discovered is a lot of people's favorite. It says this: "Long lay the world in sin and error, pining away, till He appeared and made the world and soul feel its worth. A thrill of hope and the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." I thought that was so powerful when we were singing that tonight. You know, I don't think I've ever paid that much attention to what those verses are. And I'm just going to give a short little word, kind of a little bit more than the Noonday Eucharist, but not much more. And just some things that's been personal and ministering to me lately. And that is this: I keep coming back to, and we've talked about this a lot in the church lately, in light of some things that God's doing in people's lives. And this is from Revelation 21, when Jesus said, "I am making all things new." And if you remember, that was part of the movie The Passion, when he was walking the Villa Dolorosa and he said that to his mother. And many times when people interpret that verse, they'll say, "I made all things new." But he doesn't say that. He says, "I am making all things new." And the unique thing to me about the work of God is it's we think in terms of temporal time and choppy things. But when we think about the cross is an eternal event. It says in Revelation in the King James that He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was in the heart of God. And we saw it manifested in real time, in our time, but it's an eternal event. And it's not that, okay, we're just in the season now, or we're living in a time where only thing we can do is celebrate the resurrection, because Christ, I hear people say things like, if you wear a crucifix, well, Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. I understand that Jesus is not being crucified again, but Jesus is always on the cross. Those of people who say things like that all have all kinds of nativity scenes in their houses. Well, Jesus, is He not in the manger anymore? But He is in the manger in a sense. And that the events of Christ's saving act, His birth, His crashing into a world pining away for him, a world that was lost hope, a weary world, a weary soul, it began in the nativity. It began in the creche. Began in a manger, began in a dirty stall. And it continued in His life, and it ended in His crucifixion and resurrection. But all that's part of the redeeming work of Jesus. It's all present tense to us. We celebrate it all the time. We don't think just in terms of this event, now we don't think about that event. That's one of the things I like about liturgical worship. It reminds us that those are eternal truths that impact us always. And just in a real sense, like the ending, the resurrection, brings real hope. I think the beginning does too. That just like in the song, O Holy Night, there's this childlikeness and innocence that the birth of Christ began to restore. He began to make all things new. And one of the things I've come to discover over these years of knowing, walking with Him, and the older I get, the more it's true, and it's even been more true in the last few months, and that is this whole issue of Jesus making all things new is so relevant. And this ability to be childlike without being childish. Now I'm going to read something to those of you who are here. You've heard me read this a number of times. Let me just read it to you again. And this is from C.S. Lewis. And again, C.S. Lewis wrote this to a child, hoping, as they were getting a little bit older, hoping they would understand the value of children's stories. He said, "When I was 10, I read fairy tales in secret, and would have been ashamed if I had been found doing so. Now that I'm 50, I read them openly. When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childishness and the desire to be so very grown up." Because you see, I believe that we've talked about this a lot lately, about a visitation from God. And when a person or a group of people go through revival or renewal or a real visitation from God, I think one of the things that happens to them is that God restores. It's almost as if they're introduced to the Christ child for the first time again. Now, it's not the first time, of course, but once again, the innocence and the childlikeness that's necessary to celebrate and enjoy the kingdom of God is restored to your soul. There's a scripture in Psalm 102. I'll just read this to you. That kind of describes the condition of the world because of sin. And not just humanity, but all creation. Because Jesus in the end is going to redeem it all. But it says in Psalm 102, verse 26. He says, "And they will perish, but thou dost endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, thou wilt change them, and they will be changed." The world, because of sin, is like a garment that's wearing out. And there's a weariness that sets in because of sin. That was true about the world when Jesus was born. It's also true about human beings. And sin wears you out. And sin makes you feel old on the inside. I believe the story in Luke, when the angels came and announced to the shepherds about what was happening. Listen to some of the terminology that's used. So the shepherd comes to them and says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then there was a heavenly host with them, and they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among men." And then when they come to see Christ, this Savior that was born for them, he's just a little child. He's just a newborn infant. And it says, "And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Now here's the question. Can God do anything other than sin? Yes. Could he done the redemptive plan different? When God created the world, he created the world with apparent age. And when Christ came as Savior, Jesus could have just showed up at 33. Or showed up at 30 and done his public ministry. God could have done that. Why the whole issue of being born? Why the whole issue of childhood and growing up? One of the things I believe is that nothing makes you feel so young as a child. And I believe prophetically, God's redemptive purposes in this child being born, breaking in to a world pining away, restored this hope of being young again to a fallen world and to fallen people. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Here's this cool verse. In 2 Corinthians. Because you see, this is what Jesus does. He uses terms on purpose like being born again. Healing the cynicism, the mistrust that we have when we get older, that sin has created, our own sin, the sin of other people against us. As we get older, we mistrust, we have resentment, anger, and bitterness. We're cynical, we don't believe things will turn out well. We have real problems with issues like Romans 8:28. We may say it, we hope it's true, but our experience in life often isn't that all things seem to work together for good. Often seems things seem to be bad and don't seem to be working out good at all. And to be born again, and the scripture says we're born again, we're given a new set of eyes. And when we're born again, and I love the terminology, you know, don't make it a religious thing. You're born again, you experience the wonders of childlikeness again. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this amazing thing. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Isn't that an interesting thing? How many of you struggle with losing heart all the time in your walk with the Lord because of stuff that goes on around you? But Paul, who wasn't by nature an optimistic person, by nature his temperament was to be cynical and difficult and a perfectionist and a performer. But here is Paul acting with this childlike thing that says, therefore we do not lose heart. This is the same apostle who was difficult to get along with, and yet, more towards the end of his life, he wrote things like, joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes understanding. He said that about the Christian life. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. It's an amazing thing. And so this is no secret to all of you. Christmas is also my birthday. There's a lot of reasons that God did that, but one of the things that once I gave my life to Christ, that ministered so to me is the whole issue and the idea of when I gave my life to Christ almost 30-something years ago, 1976, so I guess that's 34 years ago, I was suffering from mental illness. And I was pining away. My soul was full of darkness, and I felt old on the inside. And nothing about life was fun. There was not a molecule of childlikeness left in me. And a result of Christ invading my life and me being in union with new birth, with the Christ who is birth, He began to restore and heal me and restore childlikeness again. And as I've gotten older, what I've discovered is, as I walk in the Spirit and participate in salvation at the highest level, my outer man is decaying. No matter how much healing I experience, I don't move as fast as I used to. No matter how much healing I experience, there are joints that get sore and stiff. I'm slowing down. What hair I have is falling out. It's going to change. My beard used to be really red. Now it's getting gray. I haven't had anybody pray for me that God would stop that yet. But on the inside, I feel younger every year. Though my outer man is decaying, my inner man is being renewed, actually, day by day. That's the wonder of Christianity. That's the wonder of being born again. Is that I think just like the event of Christ never changes. It's all there. I don't just think about Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. I think about a Christ who was born, who lived, who died and rose. It's all part of His redemptive act. And in my life, I celebrate Easter and I celebrate all the things that Easter brings, the hope that Easter brings, and my crucifixion with Christ. But also celebrate my new birth. It never goes away. I never lose sight of the reality of that. And I feel young. And though it may not manifest itself on the outside, my memory may not be as good as it used to be. I don't see as well as I used to could see. But I can tell you on the inside, there's a renewing, and it's every day. And I was telling somebody the other night, I was telling Tori, I said, Tori, that's the awesome thing. And when you walk in personal revival, when there's a visitation from God, He just picks that reality back up in your life. Where you just sense that I don't know what's going on, but I just feel younger than I ever did. And it's renewed every day. Because I'm not being drugged down by the weariness of sin and the darkness that comes from being fallen. That's an amazing thing to me. Great joy for all the people. I remember this, and I'll stop with this. We think about, and Westerners have a tendency to do this a lot, we think of things theologically, the idea of being saved. Well, the idea of being saved has an antithesis to it. It means you were lost. And we just think about it lost in a judicial sense. Well, I was lost to my sins. He came and saved me from my sins. No, he came and saved us from our fallenness. He came and saved us from fallen humanity, our fallen humanity. He came and saved us to save us from being lost in depression and self-pity and all the pining away that comes from no longer being childlike, from getting old and cynical on the inside. And I'm telling you, at 23 years old, I was old and cynical on the inside. And the best way I know how to explain it is this. And being saved isn't something that you celebrate happened 30 years ago. The new birth is with me every day. That's why I love this season of Christmas, because it's just a reminder of that. I remember years ago, Woody and Luke and Tommy, and I guess it was just the three of them, and Tommy's grandmother, Nene Swift, across the street. We lived in a dead-end street, and there was a creek that horseshoed, like the street went like this, and then the creek went behind our house, went like this. It was like 11 acres of land, and then came back around behind the house across the street. So it was like 11 acres, and so when the road ended, that somebody else owned, and they would go out in there sometime and play. Well, you can't really get lost, because if you just follow the creek, you're going to end up in the house across the street. But they were little kids, and they went out with our dog to walk out in those woods, and they got lost and began to panic. And now, I wasn't there with them, but from what I understand, it was one of their more religious experiences in their entire life. They were praying, oh, Jesus, they'd get upset, and boom, the dog deserted him because he knew where to go. It was just not very far. Now, they were lost. Do you understand what it means to be lost? And then suddenly, things began to get familiar, and they knew they were saved. And they were rejoicing from the horrible feeling of being lost. That's what it means to be saved. It's not just some judicial thing that you don't get punished for your sins. It means you're saved. That you don't feel lost anymore. You're not old on the inside anymore. You've been saved. And the feelings that they felt was great joy and peace on earth. And that's what God's called us to experience every day. He saves me every day. Not from the penalty of my sin, but He saves me from the fallen tendency to be lost on the inside. To be old on the inside. I think when the shepherds saw Jesus in the manger, the world felt young again. And I think for me, that's been the coolest thing of all about being saved, is that I feel young. And I seem to be getting younger every day on the inside. So great a salvation, huh? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.